Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I know that the mainstream financial media is talking up the soft landing hype ad nauseum, but corporate America is either planning for a sharp recession or reacting to one that has already arrived by cutting costs, mainly employees. Just listen to this. This is the recent announcements. Manufacturing giant 3M to cut 2,500 jobs this year. Bank of America has frozen hiring. Microsoft is laying off 10,000 people, 5% of the workforce. Amazon cuts headcount, 18,000. Google shedding 6% of employees, 12,000 people. Wayfair cutting 10% of its workforce. Meta, 11,000 jobs, or Facebook. Salesforce, 10%. Spotify cutting 6%. IBM, 3,900. Twitter also cutting its workforce. This is just the most recent spate of layoff announcements. And yet, peculiarly, initial jobless claims for last week dropped to 190,000. That's the lowest level since September of 2022. And the four-week moving average of such claims dropped to an eight-month low. I wonder how it can be. I guess these people are being laid off aren't filing initial jobless claims. Because jobless claims should be soaring here, not going down to an eight-month low. Turning to more economic data, U.S. housing starts fell in December to cap the first annual decline since 2009. New home construction declined for a fourth straight month. Existing home sales dropped 17.8% in all of 2022, which was the largest decline, yearly decline, since the global financial crisis of 2008. Perhaps this is why private equity firms like KKR, Blackstone, Starwood, that are very heavily invested in real estate, are putting up gates for their investors to trap them into their funds. Pinto Portfolio Strategies has never and will never do that. Liquidity and transparency is what you get here. I want to just touch on the debt ceiling debate and default fears that everyone is now obsessed about, talking about. You know, not raising the debt ceiling is actually bullish, or at least the threat of the conflagration about the debt ceiling is bullish for bonds and normally bearish for equities. Just like it was in 2011 when U.S. Treasuries were downgraded because of the last such battle. Bond yields fall because the supply of treasuries would plummet if the debt ceiling actually never gets raised. It would be like a balanced budget amendment. It would force fiscal sanity on Congress and make them solely rely on tax revenue for spending. Wouldn't that be nice? Congress, though, has raised the debt ceiling with alacrity 61 times since 1978. Sometimes, as you know, at the last minute. However, this time there are 20 Republicans in the House that will not raise it, will not raise the debt ceiling without some spending cuts. Somebody has to give on the Democratic side. So this is what I think is going to happen. That means that the newly elected Speaker McCarthy, who got his gavel after much drama and 15 rounds of deals were made, is going to have a huge fight on his hands and will probably end up raising the debt ceiling with all 212 Democrats and a handful of moderate Republicans. In the end, there will be a lot of chaos and deals made at the last minute, probably consisting of an agreement to cut spending in the future, which of course will never happen, in order to get those handful of Republicans to agree. But the cuts, again, won't be tied directly to raising the debt ceiling, at least according to the Democrats, so they have their spin. So all the politicians can claim victory. The Republicans can say, hey, we got spending cuts in the future. Democrats can say, well, we didn't cut any spending now. It wasn't tied to the debt ceiling. We raised it without any objections, without any immediate cuts. But that means that the real loser in the end will be the American people, again, as always, and the nation's solvency. That's the two losers. Okay, back to the markets. For Q4 2022, the estimated earnings decline for the S&P 500 is minus 3.9%. But FactSet is still predicting a 4.5 increase in earnings per share in all of 2023. So a big rebound in earnings, or at least a moderate rebound in earnings, an acceleration of earnings in this year. Now, this fully factors in a soft landing for the economy, and that is fully priced into equities, which features a soft landing, features a 2% consumer price index, and positive economic growth is priced in. Not only is this highly unlikely, but again, it is what already is factored into the price of stocks. The truth is, the average recession, which I believe we are in now and will intensify later this year, brings earnings per share down 30%. And even when stripping out the 2000 and 2008 debacles, the average earnings per share decline is 19%. My target for the S&P 500's fair value is between 2,400 and 3,000. That is where I believe we could and should eventually be headed. Splitting the difference, it is around 2,700. For the record, the S&P right now is trading over 4,000. Now, that doesn't guarantee we're going to get there, but that is where history says the S&P 500 should be trading. This represents a 1,300 point or 32% decline. And a 32% decline would bring the valuation of equities back to 100% of GDP. And as I said last week, GDP always falls during a recession. So these numbers actually are a little bit on the optimistic side. Now this, so that means this figure could even be lower. Since the end of World War II, the average S&P 500 index bear market decline in a recession was 35%. In the 2000 and 2008 recessions, the S&P lost over 50% of its value. That would bring the S&P down to the bottom of my range of 2,400. Now again, this is the most crucial factor. You have to get the direction right. The direction has to be correct because the facts in the future are always changing and unknown. For example, what if Jerome Powell came out and said we're going immediately back to ZERP and QE, along with a coordinated, you know, collaborative effort of every central bank on the planet? Would I sit there and keep my shorts in that scenario, assuming the financial conditions were actually to loosen, and that probably would be the case? No, I would change. But for right now, the liquidity, and I'll get into this in next week's podcast, I want to go over the liquidity contraction, the salient liquidity contraction that we are now seeing. And that's why I know with the most certainty that one can know that this rally will fail, and it's going to fail in the next few weeks or a few months. But I created the IDEC model, the inflation, deflation, economic cycle model, as a timing tool to get the bull and bear market cycles correct. And over the course of the past few weeks and months, financial conditions have been easing. Yeah, that's true. They've been actually easing. You look at CDS spreads, high yield treasury spreads. I can go on and on naming all of the, I have like 100 different spreads that we analyze here. So it's clear financial conditions have been easing. So, you know, I think it's because of the anticipation of China's reopening and the lagged effects of Fed rate hikes and QT. And the Fed actions work with a lag of about 12 months, meaning we won't really begin to feel the full force of tighter monetary policy until this summer. And that's why I create, again, that is why I have this timing tool. So rather than being you know, massively net short coming into 2023 and getting our head handed to us, we're before fees, we're pretty much unchanged this year. Before you take the 0.37% off for the quarter, the whole entire first quarter. So this is the value of the inflation, deflation, economic cycle portfolio and model and strategy, where you don't take the hit, the big hits in recessions, and you can even make money during big downturns and bear markets, but also understand when it's time to pull back your, you know, file your bear claws, you know, but then get ready to pull your bullhorns out when this finally shakes out, when a new genuine bull market can begin. Now that absolutely 100% is not the case right now. That could be the case later on in 2023. But as I just laid out with my targets, we have a very, very long way to go as far as earnings per share declines, as far as the recession is concerned, and as far as the reconciliation of asset prices are concerned, before we really can contemplate getting long in a sustainable fashion. Now, it is also very unlikely that China can offset the inexorable trend of global recession due to the tighter fiscal and monetary policies throughout the developed world. Let me just touch on that briefly. First of all, China represents about 4% of the S&P 500 revenue. And according to the Bank of International Settlements, China's total debt to GDP in 2006, before the global financial crisis, was only 143%. Total debt, including household, corporate, and government. It has now surged to 300%. So in other words, China has already played this trick out coming out of 2009, coming out of the Great Recession. China has already piled on a tremendous amount of debt to help pull the global economy out of recession. They can't do that again. Just think about the United States. The United States' total debt to GDP in 2006 was 216%. Now it is also, according to the BIS, a little bit over 300%. Now no one can argue that the U.S. is now in a position to pile on a massive amount of new debt. Clearly doing so would create runaway inflation and create a crippling sovereign debt crisis with yield soaring and a currency that's crashing and inflation running inexorably higher. Let's just say the United States was again increase its debt by 100 percentage points from here. What do you think would happen? Exactly what I just said. And China accumulated more debt on a percentage basis than we did, which engendered a huge fixed asset bubble in that country. Their home price to income ratios dwarf that of the United States. So trying the same games again, re-leveraging what my friend David Stockman calls the big red Ponzi now from here, would result in utter disaster for China. It would crush the yuan, cause inflation to soar, and push their economy into a more unsustainable position and create utter chaos. So don't look for that to happen. Hence, so take this all, you know, put this in a ribbon here for this week. We added to our long positions recently in response to the model's output. We bought a drug stock. We sold one of our short positions, straight short positions, at a nice profit, booked those gains, and moved into another short position that doesn't have the same volatility aspects of the straight short. This particular ETF that we own shorts all of the high beta sectors and goes long the low beta sectors. So it's a little less volatile than what we owned prior to this. However, keep in the front of your mind that looser financial conditions is exactly the opposite of what Mr. Powell and the Fed wants to and needs to happen at this time. And for this reason, plus the lagged monetary effects that I talked about, The current bear market bounce will again be very short-lived, lasting weeks to a couple of months at the most, and it will be just like every other head fake since the last market began in January. So forget about the 60-40 portfolio, forget about the buy and hold portfolio. That got you, that made you lose 20 to 30% of your capital last year. Stay active, ride these liquidity cycles, and that's exactly what we're going to do here. We're going to position ourselves to wait patiently for this liquidity cycle to end. And a lot of that has to do with the Treasury draining its capital account at the Fed. It's actually offsetting all of the QT right now. I don't want to get into that right. It'd take me too long. A whole nother podcast. But once this liquidity cycle ends, and it will end by the summer, watch out below. We'll try to get that timing as right as possible and to make sure we protect and profit from bear markets and fully participate in the bull market ahead. But again, that bull market may begin 1,300 points lower from here.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.